Glad to have everybody here today. My name is Bruce Bates, and I coach planters for Kairos Church Planting. And we are really thrilled to have an awesome guy with us today, Jonathan Thomas. Jonathan leads a new church plant called Pacific Crest in Wenatchee, Washington. And so we are really excited to let him talk to you today. A little announcement I would love for you to take care of for me today. Would you help me today by filling out one of these? We are starting a prayer network. We're trying to get 1,000 great people to pray for us. And we would love it if you would fill one of these out.
We're about 850.
850 now, Stan? This is Stan Gramberg. He's our executive director. And we send you a little email that says, hey, would you like to pray for this? And that's all we ask out of you. But we really believe in prayer, and that's why we keep bugging people about this, because we think God wants us to pray to find lost people. So this is the church in action right here. So here's
two.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, that's what I don't want to pray twice.
So just fill it out, tear it off, hand it to me, hand it to Stan. That would be awesome for you to be part of our network and be a part of helping reach lost people around the world. So, Jono, come on in, bro.
Well, good morning, everybody. I was wondering, the 8:30 morning class is very ambitious. So we're very going and ready to be a part
people.
Of this. Excellent. I'm trying something here to some folks who were not able to make it, and we'll see if this goes along here, about live streaming this. So I might stand here if I move and I take a look at my screen. I'm just trying to stay in that frame. But thank you, everybody, for coming. My name is Jonathan, as my good friend Bruce here explained. Planting a church in the Pacific Northwest in the smack dab middle of Washington State, Wenatchee. It sits just on the east side of the Cascade Mountain Range. And we are near to a trail called the Pacific Crest Trail. It goes from Mexico to Canada. And a lot of people take journeys along. It can take up to 6 months or less or so. Maybe you have heard of the book or seen part of the movie or such called Wild. And it's this young lady in her crisis mode and life discovery of taking that trail. And no spoiler alerts, but sometimes we need to walk a long trail to figure things out, to discover what's going on in life. Amazingly, the Pacific Crest Trail is driven past, you know, people go over it all the time from the eastern side of the line to the west side and vice versa. And some people have no idea that they have crossed this incredible trail. They just go along. And so God just called us into this place of discovering what would it be like maybe to stop at that trail, to find that trail, and let people know what exists in their own backyards. And so we stepped out a few years ago to plant a church and really wanted to try to discover, well, we didn't want to make something new. We didn't want to make it different, but we knew something had to be discovered in the whole language. As a matter of fact, when I first started, I went out into my community and I asked several of the Downtown Business Association folks, tell me, what could Pacific Crest Church do for you? And that was kind of a, you know, what could a church do for a business or in a community as working downtown? And we sort of labored through some of those things. But the real challenge for me, and where I all of a sudden something struck me a little bit different, was I asked, what could you do for Pacific Crest Church? And that seemed to be a question, I don't know if it had ever been asked before. It almost came out at first as if, like, do you need money? Or do we donate goods or services? And I wasn't really looking for money, and I wasn't looking for goods and services. I was looking for people, and I was looking for partnerships, the things that existed in our community that I knew were really important. But it was just amazing that it really baffled both of us in our conversations as we had. We just didn't even know how to wrap our minds around, well, what could our community do for us? I mean, did I really even need anything from my community? And what was the answer I was looking for? I didn't know. And that sort of troubled me. It troubled me is that there was something that I did not know about the community that I had served in youth ministry and ministry for almost 15 years. and yet there was something that was a broken connection there. I left to do church planting, and the most terrifying, most wonderful thing that I could ever do. I promise you, if you do it, buckle up, because it'll be a difficult story, but it will be the best story that you could possibly ever have. It's one where you step into the prayer, "Give me today my daily bread," and you mean it. And that's powerful. But I started dwelling through the scripture and wanted to see some of the things that Jesus did. And I really started or got stopped and wrecked in Matthew chapter 9. And I don't know if you would like to turn there or make a reference there to this. But in Matthew chapter 9, it's the day in the life of Jesus as he is, I think, going from one place to the other. And I'm just going to, I'd love to read the entire thing, but I know that we just don't have the time for that. But I want to talk about the calling of Matthew when Jesus goes and sees Matthew. Here's a gentleman, he's a tax collector, he's one of the bad guys of the communities, the businessman per se. And so he was sitting at the table, and verse 9 of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was leaving and he saw a tax collector named Matthew sitting at a place for paying taxes. And Jesus said to him, "Come with me." And Matthew got up and went with him. And then Jesus and disciples were having dinner at Matthew's house, and many tax collectors and sinners were also there. I've read that a lot of times. And isn't it great when we read God's word? We can read things a lot of times. And then finally, at one point, at one day, it just strikes you. And what really hit me at this point was Jesus had just asked Matthew to follow him. But what I read in the very next sentence was that somehow Jesus ended up following Matthew to his home, to his table, to his friends. And that was really uncomfortable to me. As a matter of fact, Jesus, in this story in Matthew chapter 9, as I read it, which I believe exists probably in about just one day in the life of his day planner, Jesus' day planner, with a lot of interruptions, at the very end of it, he goes through all the towns and villages, and he sees the people, and he has compassion on them, because they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are people, as it's described by Matthew, helpless and harassed. And so Jesus says then that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord to send out harvest workers into his harvest field. So I made it after many months just through one chapter. And it was really tough to get through that. And I got to Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus sends out disciples. He sends out 12. And it reminded me of a little bit of the story that Luke tells in Luke 10, where Jesus sends out 72. Very similar stories, I think one after the other, compound because of what a simple group of people chose to do, caused something else to happen. But there was something where then Jesus, he goes out in after the sending of the 12, but in Luke's story, he sends out the 70. And what I love about that story, and I'm not sure if you realize, once they went out and did their part, and I'd like to talk about that a bit, they came back. And they said a bunch of stuff to Jesus, and Jesus' words out of his mouth are, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." That really captured me. What would it be like for the church to go out and engage its community, that when we came back with story, Jesus said, "Satan falls. I saw it. I saw him losing because you guys went out." And here's the hard part. Is what does it mean to go out for us as Christians? I thought, well, here's what we'll do. We'll go out now. We're missionaries. We're going to have a VBS, and we're going to, you know, engage our community. And I started thinking like the system that I had grown up in, which is good. I'm here as a result of that. As a matter of fact, my sister, who is in Nashville, Tennessee, also posted a picture of me when I was about 7 years old, standing out here in the Pepperdine lot in t-shirt and straight up and down. It's a ridiculous photo. It probably should have been the one in place of the picture they used in the photo. With my sisters and everything, 1970s and such. And who would have thought this place, this the people of God in the church have been great contribution to this boy with no father in his life, to grow up and to be able to stand here. And I love the church. But I discovered that there was something that I thought that I was doing well, that I wasn't doing well, and that's this idea of hospitality. I think the church, and here's the go, I think the church today believes it's doing very well in hospitality to its community. What I discovered was, though, is that the church, me, I haven't needed anything from my community for a long time. I don't need anything. I have everything. I'm the answer to my community. I make the programs, I do the events, I invite people to my place and my space and my building and my control and my time frame. And when it comes to relying on the community, I really don't need anything. And what I really discovered was is I was giving hospitality, but I wasn't giving it as well because I just haven't needed anything from the community for a long time. And I think that's been the church's position, is we might not be giving it as well as we think because we haven't needed anything from our community. So what does it mean for us to discover how to get into that relationship with our community? What does it look like for us to be engaged in that way? I think Jesus shows this in lots of different places where he says to the disciples to make sure that you go and you rely upon the hospitality of the people. You bring peace to their home. You eat and you drink whatever is set before you. Okay, and you receive that, and then you bring the kingdom of God near to them. And this is really important. Jesus was all about this, but it will shake some of our foundations. It will shake some places that we stand, because people will look and they'll question and they'll wonder, why are you doing what you're doing? It doesn't look like how it probably should be. I saw this in the story in John chapter 4. And if you look in that story, it's the story about Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And this is another one that just slapped me a little bit. Excuse me, let me grab a little bit of a drink here. Speaking about a woman in the water at the well. Jesus goes and he sits there and he sees this lady. And we know some of the story. We've had a lot of the sermons on it about this woman was kind of that woman. And she shouldn't have been at the well at an earlier time because she probably would have been made fun of. So she's like a bad lady, right? She's a bad lady. Somehow Jesus is there and he's alone, and then she shows up and Jesus says to her, could I have a drink of water? Again, I've read over that so many times and I didn't understand how important that first question was. She says, sir, you don't have a bucket, you don't have a cup, you don't have anything to drink out of, and you're a Jew. You are this side and I'm on this side, and this shouldn't be happening this way. As a matter of fact, I know it's really hot in here or something. Would anybody like a drink out of my water bottle?
No, thank you.
I mean, isn't that interesting, right? Because I think most of you showered today and you're fairly clean. I showered. I even brushed my teeth, probably not after the coffee that I just had. I mean, the extended hand of asking for someone's drink out of their own cup. This is what Jesus did, and it seems like it might be odd here, but back then it was very different and very awkward because she was a woman, and he was a man, and he was a Jew, and she was not. And what Jesus does so wonderfully at that moment is he says, you have something that I need. Now, we know Jesus is like his forethought. He had in mind this living water type deal. And what I love about this, Jesus could have just walked up. I mean, he was Jesus. He could have seen her. He knew her life and he knew her story. She says that, right? We understand later in Scripture. She says, come meet a man who told me everything about myself. Jesus, of course, had something in mind. He was Jesus. He wasn't even the church. He was Jesus. He definitely had the answer. He had water that would never thirst again. He could have seen her, picked up a rock, cracked it open, took a drink of this. Put the cap back on, set it down, and then he could have said, now, I will tell you what you need. It's not this water well, but you need me. And that's not where he started. What he started was empowering somebody who had something to bring to the table. What would it be like for us to empower people by allowing our community or the people outside of our circle to bring something to the table. It's risky. It's scary. And what I found is that most people in kind of our system, we have this idea that we are sent people. That's what we're called. We're sent out. And so what we do is we find people, you know, and we bring hospitality, and then we have our town, and we kind of include it all into our area. And so if anything is outside of our area, we really need to get it inside of our area in order for it to exist. And that's how some of, I think, our ideas have thought to work. And I wonder if, by chance, our circle has been mismarked. Perhaps maybe we have a sense of the sent people. Then we have people who, like the woman with a cup of water, could be hospitable. And then yet we have something that was near to her, something that she ran away from a little bit to separate herself, and that was the town. So I saw these three different things. I saw this in the Luke text. I saw this in Matthew's writing about where Jesus was and as he went along. And I thought these were three different places. But for most of my life, I spent into that one circle, and not many of these existed unless they came about into my sphere, into my place, and in my control. So my challenge for us today is to discover through these stories is what would it be like for us to risk to go bring the kingdom of God near nevertheless? And what are some things that happen when we work through this model in this simple Venn diagram about people who are sent people who are host people, and people who are town people in your community? Could you name some of them? And there's unique and special relationships between the two that exist that I think we could probably learn something through. Now, if you would like to see some of these, this Venn diagram or some of the notes, you can go to pacificcrestchurch.org, and on the slideshow that is on the front page, there will be a link to a handout that you can download, and it has what I'm about to draw up here and some other types of notes, some I hope you will contribute to also. So here we go in this idea of being the church. Now, I would assume that most of us would believe that we would be in this circle. I mean, for the church, right? As a matter of fact, I have shared a little bit of this story with some of our millennial church kids. And I've asked them, and I'll ask you today, right now, if you could pick a circle of the sent, the host, or the town, which circle would you say that you're in right now? Are you in a sent circle? Again, maybe raise your hand. Okay. Do you think maybe like you're a host person? You're a person who has a cup of water that you could give? You know, you're not really, I'm not really there. I mean, you know, these guys have like a mission and stuff. What about town? And what does that mean? And I've been kind of vague, but if you struggle to wonder what this one is, I think maybe that's a picture of a little bit where our struggle is as we try to connect with our town. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of lost this relationship here. Yet there is an important connection between all of them. There's things that exist, and I think the part that I've dealt with some of our millennial folks is they go, well, I don't really know, but I think I'm supposed to be here. And we've not really done a good job teaching them the importance of here and here, and how quickly we can move from one to the other. So here's as I have seen this, and this is sort of a living, you know, go through. I'm hoping to create maybe some language or ideas that help us move along in something that I feel our hospitality has been lost. First off, I would like to say that there's a relationship that's very special between a sent person, Jesus, and a person of hospitality. And that is the idea of generosity. This space right here is vital. The sent people of God have something of generosity to bring to the table, to present a cup, to say, living water, to someone very special. It's like the disciples who relied upon the hospitality. They brought peace. this person over here bought a table of food. What does that look like? I talked to a minister once, and he had a bad day. He was telling me about this wonderful event that their church was hosting. It was one of those Valentine dinners or programs for Thanksgiving where there would be turkeys or hams and a lot of the table spread, a small glimpse of picture of what it will look like in heaven, I'm sure. And they had a family with a bunch of children who had come along about a couple weeks before, and they had pushed up this event. And so the family, they saw this, and they're like, you know, we're kind of gone, but we'd like to be there at this dinner. And so he's really encouraged. I'm really encouraged. I want this family to come know Jesus. I want them to know our community. We got the table spread. He made the invitations. He sent them out. The times were made, posted. The bread was baked. The turkeys cooked. The table set. And they didn't show up. And so he goes and he calls them and he says, hello, this is the minister here at the church. And hey, we're having our dinner tonight, and you said that you were going to come and you're not here. And they said, oh, you know, preacher, we're so sorry. We ordered pizza and we're having pizza at home here. And his disappointment, right? Everything about him. And he looks at me, he's like, pizza? They wanted pizza. We had ham. We had bread, fresh rolls, and everything that was made. Our tables were set. And I asked him, I said, did you ask him if you could go have pizza with him? And that question went into outer space. It did not even hit any of where he was at that moment. But see, I've been there. That's gone over my head. When we ask, what would it have been like to leave our table and all of this good food and the spread to go sit and have Little Caesar's pizza, you know, and an idea? And what would it have been like for the sent to receive the generosity from the host? There's something very powerful that connects when generosity of the sent meets the generosity and receives the generosity of the host. Which then brings another relationship. The person of peace, or this host person, they have a special connection to their community that the sent does not have. Absolutely, if you take a look at Luke text in chapter 10, there are people who are connected in hospitality, or these gateways. We've read missional books about this. This is nothing new. It's the idea of where we might have, you know, the upward, inward, outward position. That's probably how that's been language that you may have heard before. But there's definitely a relationship here of one that is outward or one that is the invite. These people who are hosts have connections to their town that we just don't. We don't. We never will. But when we rely upon that hospitality, we get to hear stories of others that are meeting in their lives, and it connects us to a town. What is a town? That will look different in my town versus your town. I really can't give you, here's what this is and here's what the answer is. The idea is if you want to know who your town is, you're going to have to rely upon the hospitality of someone and start getting the DNA or the framework of your community. This is what's hard about lectureships and these classes, is that we have a lot of good information and most of it is not pertaining to our specific area or region. And so I don't want to give any falseness to this. This is hard work and it's uncomfortable work. And your definitions, though, as loose termed as these will be, your acute definitions will come from your involvement in attempting this radical step here. But the town, you know, for us, we're moms, we're fathers, you know, who are just trying to be better fathers. There are business leaders in community. They were places of gathering and community. For our place, we have an incredible town relationship. It's a place called Pybus Market. It's about as old of a creation as the Pacific Crest Church is in our community. And they are a place that we have found through hospitality. We have met our town in this gigantic facility with a lot of employees and people and community folks that come along. But we have had a great opportunity to connect here because we've met through the outward, the place here, people have been able to bite. Now, before I go on a little bit, If this is you, and you found and identified yourself with being a sent person, it's really interesting to me that in churches today, the minister, the person who's a sent, they always seem to be labeled or tasked with this. Oh, go invite people, go be outward, go invite people, be outward. Actually, this is not their job, really, at this point, right here. Their job really is to connect in generosity. It's really not outward and inviting. And that's kind of tough because you're like, oh, well, we should always be doing that. Well, really? What would it be like if we empowered somebody else to be able to do something like that? What if we trusted a little bit more for someone to get us into places that we just couldn't go? Part of this is, you know, a little bit of restraint to maybe allow for other people to be engaged and involved in the kingdom. And so to create this outward or this invitation. Now, here was another wrestling as I'm looking at this story and I'm seeing Jesus and this woman and this cup, and nobody still has come to take a drink from my water bottle yet. But Jesus moves on into this powerful story about, you know, okay, well, even where do we worship? You know, you guys say Jerusalem, we say this mountain stuff, and Jesus gets this profound statement of worshiping in spirit and in truth. And then Jesus knows her story and says, go get your husband. And if you know the story, right, she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, yeah, you're right. The one you're living with right now is not. As a matter of fact, you've had several more. And she's astounded by this statement. And she, who became host, goes to her town. And she says, come hear somebody who's told me everything about me. Someone who took a moment to hear my life. You know, Jesus is like, if you knew who you're talking to, this would be a life changer for you. To get into that place, if people understand the life change. So she goes literally from here, she follows through with this, and she invites her town to come back to meet Jesus. Now, this is the fun part for me here. I've wrestled through this, and these are my ideas, and I hope maybe you guys can work through this a little bit and have some of your ideas. But I thought this relationship that's unique here is generosity. I thought this relationship here would be considered the outward or invitation place. I'm curious to know, what in the world does a sent person need from a town, and what in the world does the town need from the sent person? Are you good? Am I good?
Yeah, I'm just taking okay. Count.
So this is us. Right? Many of us raised our hands and said, we are sent. So we know what your town needs from you. We know, right? But what do you need from your town? Is there any common relationship of bringing something together in those two places? Mm-hmm. This is the one that brings silence too long for this class to go about, okay? And so here is my idea. Here's something that I've thought through. They bring empowerment to each other. See, Jesus brings something that caused a movement with a town. They brought in there, like, they even invited. As a matter of fact, you see a jump from here to here to here to here. We might exist in a spot for a moment, but it's easily we can move throughout them. I don't want us to get stuck and say, oh, I'm only here, because I think the idea is understanding the places of each of these are important to work in and not just try to jump across. We have to be able to see that there is something of togetherness with these. So a sent person can bring empowerment to their community, but the town, that big thing, when it comes together, it brings real empowerment to the message, to the sent person. And what does it look like when your town empowers the sent? What does it look like for your church to have the full backing of your community to say, go, be sent, and be generous? Does that happen? Has your Chamber of Commerce come to you and said, we're commissioning you to take this on, and we want you to be in charge of all of this in our community? Wouldn't that be cool if they did? Wouldn't it be incredible? And so you have this real empowerment that happens here, and then there's something that's in the middle here that I think is just fantastic, and that is really big here. It's story. It's story of all of these things coming together. They all cross. It's a narrative of what God has been doing from the very beginning, you know, to now and into the future. Narrative and story happen. And so my last question really is, as we went through this, which one of these circles is more important than the other one? Because if we, and for our, I'm live, I think it says I'm live, and for our live friends, I got to go this other side over here. Because what happens if we have a sent people, and we have host, but we have, you know, no town? So we have this, but not this. What happens when we have only those two?
An empty banquet table.
Mm-hmm. You have an empty banquet table. Exactly. What are some other things? I'm going to just put that here. It's empty.
Might lack an entree, an entry point.
Yeah, entry is depleted.
No significance.
No significance. And I have to think now to spell significance.
You can no live purpose. In a town.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, you can live in a town, but if the church is mad at the town, or protecting themselves from culture and purity, and we just don't want any of those folks. If they come to us, we give them a message. So that's like living in no town.
Right, exactly. So we can kind of see this, it is a lot of inwardness. You know, our generosity is depleted rapidly because our resources are depleted. Because, you know, who's been there? I got to host this banquet again at my house. I wish somebody else could do it because I'm running out of, you know, resources or such. I'm really tired. We get burned out in these places and such, and so our generosity can even, you know, be depleted. We can run out of that. And so here's the other idea, then. We have people who are the host, and then we have town, but we don't have the sent. Has anybody seen those things exist in our town or in your town? I think that's very common. What does that look like, then, in reality?
When my husband and I went to Panama, we went to a town to help a local guy who just was a member of the church. He didn't have a church really established of his own. So he, like, I kind of view it kind of like the host. Like, he wanted to do something, but he didn't really know how to go about it. And we found through evangelizing in the community, like us going out into the community and talking to people and inviting them in, that one of the townspeople had a problem with the host and wasn't talking to him, and they were really good friends at one time. And so she had heard that he was trying to establish this thing, but she was just like, I don't believe that this guy... and so when we went out and we talked to her, she came to our meeting, and they resolved things with each other. And she also encouraged the people around her to come then and to help him build his church. So.
See, and so that didn't all just happen at one time. You circled through some stuff, but the end here, what we're all getting is the story, the narrative, what God did, because each one of us were able to work in those spaces. But when I look here at this host in town with no sent, I see social, you know, very social, no real kingdom sense. There's real no empowerment that's going to be happening here. There is busy, oh, very busy, because if you have kids in any soccer, football, baseball programs, dance, things, and so there's a connection, but it's a hit and miss. There's really not a lot of relationship because people are running through. There's a lot of work-based, multiple causes. Relationship can be lacking in this. You know, we get a text here and there, right? Soccer time meet up here, for practice. You get to visit, but then you're gone off to the next thing. And one thing I wrote here, a friend of mine and I were talking, was loss of discernment, you know, in this setting. But it exists. But here's another one I believe that exists. To have a scent, a town, but no host. What does that look like?
We all sit in a building.
Yeah.
And expect people to come to us.
Right. It's like, I'm here, and then I'm here. I'm here, and then I'm here. I'm like, I get tired, you know. I'm going to have to juggle this for how long, you know. It can be materialistic. There's no generosity that's happening. If it is happening, it's happening in that setting, which is controlled, planned environment, location. It can be immature. It can be a surface level only type place. It can empower works only. We all have a job to do, right? Let's get this done. And so a question is, you know, which one of these is your current church setting? And I would hope not, but I know that I really have fallen into a lot of this one in my life up here. I'm a very sent people, right? And we got hosts. And then it's all coming inward like this. Or maybe I'm here, you know, we're getting really big and we got a lot of stuff going on, you know, here. And then becomes sort of this, you know, breakdown of something that if we are able to trust and rely upon the hospitality of our community. Now, all of this is good and quite a mess. Actually, as I turn around and take a look at it, take a snapshot of this. Hey, look what we learned. If you're listening to this on audio and you've taken the time to do that, I have just drawn a pig that has been run over by a semi-truck. it's very messy, but in our story at Pacific Crest Church, we ask a question, and I would just challenge everybody here is, you guys have always invited people to come along. Fantastic. My challenge to you is go get yourself invited by somebody. Like meet a stranger and get them to invite you to something. And I would ask, when was the last time you could think of a story where that happened? It had been a long time for me. And waiting for the invitation of someone to come along and say, come with me. So that I got a chance to rely upon that and bring the kingdom of God near, not with an agenda that it would absolutely work, you know, and that, oh, this is not going to go, but that a place where they had a chance to play their part of this important role as we're moving along to create the narrative of God's story, nevertheless. And that when we go and we do these things, Jesus says, I saw Satan being defeated. I saw him fall like lightning. That's what you going out and doing this did. But don't rejoice in all the powerful, wonderful things that you did and the healings and all of the miracles and those types of things. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. This is the goal. This is the idea of my kingdom coming near for everybody. Nevertheless, there'll be some who receive it and some who don't. But nevertheless, you, in your proximity, at Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell, so that's my weakness. Your proximity of a person, of a stranger, a person next to you, is the kingdom of God that comes near to them, nevertheless. Mm-hmm. And then what is it like when we start thinking, not in and out, but as we go, we're bringing it near, looking for those opportunities. So what happened in my life, and I was talking about coffee shops earlier a little bit, starting a church plant, we are low scale. We don't have a building that we meet in or that we own. We rely upon the hospitality of our community. And that was really hard to get to going along, because how do you do that? How do you find a place that's going to be generous to you? How do you create those relationships? And I went along and had made an office in a location, because that's what all the church planner books tell you to do. They say, go to one place, stay there, just meet everybody and do a solemn place and stay there. And I went to one place and that was a coffee shop and I stayed there. And the coffee shop came up for sale and a person who was buying it was a friend of mine and he said, let's pray together. And I thought, this would be fantastic. We're going to pray and Jesus, you could let me use this coffee place. Thank you, because my friend will own it and then I'll get to use it for kingdom stuff. And this seems to be going well. Well, he lost the bid on it, and another gentleman bought it. And I was like, okay, Jesus, this is not what I'm going to pray for. I don't know what to do now. You've ruined my plans. But as I saw the gentleman who bought it that day, I'll never forget, I was sitting there at my table, and I watched him come down and pull a couple of employees together, and they were talking. I was like, oh, this is the guy, you know, I lost it. And at the very end, they bowed their heads and they prayed. And I was like, oh, this is interesting, but I don't know these people. But I want to. And so we kind of got going along and coming near and relationships started building. And so many things happened through their generosity. It wasn't too long before the owner said, tell me about your church plant. And I told him Pacific Crest Church and we're trying to do something different. And then as I was talking, what he heard was blah, 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 blah. Everything that you're saying makes no sense. And I said, I wish that I had the wording for it. I wish that I could clearly tell you what we're trying to do. He says, it really strikes me because what you're trying to say, it needs to happen. And isn't it interesting that there's no language for it? Isn't it? I'm amazed at how you're wrestling to speak, you know, intelligently. I was like, thank you. About this God moving in his community, and it shouldn't be that hard for us Christians as believers. And as we went along, he said, here's a key to our establishment. Anytime we're closed, you can use this place. And so we have used that, relying on the hospitality, it's ours. They even gave me free coffee for life at Cafe Mela. Please, everybody go to melacoffee.co and buy their coffee. It's fantastic. There's a little sponsorship. I'm sponsored. But it was just fantastic that they're like, we want to be generous to you. And I had to receive that. It creates a place for me. Another place that we met, and I had mentioned Pybus Market. And this is the one where it just absolutely baffled this, for me, the experiment of relying upon the hospitality. We wanted to do a VBS. We didn't have a church building to do a VBS in. What do? We have to rely upon the hospitality of something else. So we thought the park systems, let's do the parks. And then on the last day of our VBS, and we didn't call it that, we called it All of Creation. It was an art camp for kids, and we've done it, you know, several years now. But the last day, we wanted to do an exhibition at the public market in our town. It's an old steel mill that's been converted into sort of the market in Seattle, the Pike Place Market, it's very similar to that. And I talked to the director, and he said, I love that idea of getting kids together and doing this. Can I ask, would you consider doing your entire event inside Pybus Market? We'll give you this entire space at no charge, and if you just did it here. Now, see, I know, Steve, this is a good business move for him, because if you get kids there, you get parents there who can go to the vendors and do some buying and such, right? That sounds like a good deal. And it did for me, too, because I was invited, and so I took that opportunity. It was amazing what God did in that time frame, that the entire staff came together, and they saw what we had done, and they said to us later, we love what you guys did. It was fantastic. And we were just wondering, would your church be in charge of all of our kids' program stuff, that if we have something at Pybus Market that needs to happen for kids, would you guys do it? And I was like, well, we need to pray about it and think about it. I'm doing circles in my head, bouncing up and down off the walls, because here was someone saying, we're going to host you. And guess what they have a lot of? Invitation and outward position. And then when we get to meet their town, guess what we get to do? We get to say, all of creation, God created everything, right? In his nature, he is Elohim, God. And children paint, or they do Easter egg hunt, you know, there. Or we do gingerbread house factory, or any, you know, of the many other things that we've done because of the hospitality. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you how bad I am at taking all of this together in the nature of myself of receiving hospitality. Recently, they invited us to do family game nights there at the marketplace. And so we've had 50 to 60 family people who have come every fourth Friday of the month, and they're like, do this. So we got together, we're like, yeah, we're going to do this. And we set up tables, and the first time it was fantastic. The second time we thought, let's get pretzels, because we need pretzels. This seemed like a good party food. So we're there, and the director comes out, and he sees that there are pretzels on the table, and he says, listen, you guys need no expense out of this. Please submit your receipts, and we will pay for this. And I said, this is nothing. We got this. I mean, there's just pretzels and a few bags here and there. And I started, here's trying to be generous, but I'm like, no, we've got control. I don't need your money. I've got it. This is nothing. And he said, you guys do so much for us. We don't do enough for you. And we can do this. And I'm like, no, you do so much for us. Because now they let us use their event center for worship twice a month. We get to go in there and have worship service in the public market two times a month and at no charge. And this relationship of hospitality, we're receiving, we're meeting people, we're bringing the kingdom of God near. And so we have this back and forth, you do this for us, no, you do this for us. And I thought, isn't this silly? Why couldn't I just say, here's the receipt, thank you for your hospitality.
There you go.
It was like, I just, no, I'm in control, right? I'm the one. And we're not, it's not all our circle. We can't just default back into that. I would challenge us, and I want to leave a few moments for questions before we end here in about 10 minutes or so, if you have some, is what would it be like for your church to be invited by its community again? Because there was a time.
Say again.
What would it be like for your church to be invited by its community, to be empowered by its community, and for us to bring the kingdom of God near? Nevertheless, that's an important word, nevertheless. Those are a few of the very amazing stories. I guess the real question is, then, you know, tell me about all the successes. And I want to know the numbers of all the everything that's come about of it. And we're still learning through that, I'm just going to say. It's taken us a while to get to this point, and we're still working on this relationship. But the story that's coming about would be one of a young lady who is just very recently, she had not been to church for a long time because of judgment that she had felt in her life in the past. And it was a hard journey for her. But because of coffee shops and because of different locations, she got to come near to other people who were bringing the kingdom of God near. And as the story went along, she came to one of our Alpha programs at the coffee shop on Tuesday nights. And she got to ask some of the greatest questions that nobody said, here are the answers to. She's like, why don't you guys answer my questions? And we're like, well, but that's a good question. And we might have other people have some conversation about it. But we just didn't give it to her. She was kind of going along and getting and pulling and finding what God was saying. And just a few weeks ago, she said, I'm just ready to give my life to Jesus. We baptized her in the Columbia River, and it wasn't even that cold at this time of year. Usually it is. It's like ice coming down, and there wasn't. And it was beautiful. It was fantastic. And if that is how this whole story ends, it's, I saw Satan fall like lightning in that. And so here is our challenge, is the church thinks it's been really good at hospitality, and truthfully, it has done wonderful things. My feeling is our hospitality is a bit lost right now. And only when we find ourselves being invited again will we catch a glimpse of the vulnerability that we've asked so many people to be a part of in our systems and our programs. It will be one where we're not stepping from one stage to the next, but making it a broader sense of our story and the narrative of Christ is at the middle of it all. So, are there questions or things that I can help clarify?
I can only see the picture of what Jesus has asked us to do, is to go out into the world every day and do this. And it helps when you put a picture to it, you know, to know that that's where we should be doing. Now, I have an exercise class as well, as you know. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that come to my exercise class are from out. And it happens to be in the church because it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're not preaching, but you're trying to live Christ and do these little things. And people go out, and at least they know where the building is, you know, and they want to gather. And then I have people ask other people to come to class. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like I'm giving something to them because people need to routinely exercise as well as their mind needs to be exercised. So I can see the picture that we need to be as Christians in this, all of us.
I think it was really good. Practically, how do you do it being a minister, and then how do you encourage your congregation to be a part of this? Because I think as the point guy at your church, you probably have a lot of people wanting to invite you, or you're focused, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a lot of people probably inviting you to things, and my guess is that it's easy for you to get caught up in that, but how do you encourage a congregation or a group of people you're leading to get on board with this, you know?
Yeah. It will be a challenge because this is not how we've taught the system to roll. And so you have families who are busy and hosting in town type events and stuff, or they're jumping kind of back in between the two. It is getting the honest conversation of asking people, for right now, where are you? Like, let's talk, what is a host, you know, and going into a little bit more detail about the hospitality. What does that really mean, or town? Because I think that's where the disconnect is people were being told that they're here in the sent spot. But everything that they're doing is here and here. They're not doing that at all. And so, but you're telling them that's what they're supposed to be doing. Generosity, be generous, be generous, be generous, be generous. That is not where they're at. And so there's this huge disconnect, and they will never connect with it until you allow them permission to do what they're doing in their space and own it. And once they own it, they can jump, you know, quickly from the other. But it will be turning a ship. It's going to take a long time for that to go, and patience and prayer.
But just recently, Jonathan, you gave something, you opened up yourself to the town, and you offered them the Dave Ramsey course.
Mm-hmm.
And you had people respond, I assume, mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah, that was another invitation. We mm-hmm. were asked by, again, the local market to bring Financial Peace University. They even gave us scholarships money. A gentleman made a private donation who's a part of that and gave mm-hmm. us funds for that. I mean, the generosity is there. It's fantastic. And so this is, again, trial and error, but giving an opportunity for these things to exist. And do they? That's the question. Do they exist where you are?
Well, they go home positive and offer something to mm-hmm. other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is different than when they come to us, we'll be really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So much, yeah. John.
So there's people looking at the door. I thought we had till 9:30, but I suppose we're done. So
I want to pray for this guy really fast. Is that be okay? Father, bless this man, his family. His daughter's here with him today. Glad to have her with us, Mary. Leave with Donette. Father, help us to see each of us. Speak to us. Today, this week, do we need to be sent? Do we need to be a host? Do we need to navigate the town better? Just let it speak to us, Father. Bless Pacific Crest Church and the light of Christ they're trying to shine. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.